This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Guys, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Have you thought about this? That the writers of the New Testament faced a difficult and uncertain future. And by the way, they wrote to people in that first century who were facing a difficult and uncertain future. They knew they couldn't control what was going to happen. They couldn't guarantee their physical safety. They couldn't guarantee their financial success in any way. That's the way it was in that world. So basically, the writers of the New Testament, Peter, John, Paul, these writers said, here are your marching orders in the midst of an uncertain mess that we call planet Earth. And we have a lot of soldiers in our congregation. You know, when it comes to marching orders, you know what those are. You're asked to march, or you're asked to do some troop movement, and the orders come down, and it says, here's what you do, and here's where you go, and here's when you do it. And you don't question it because it came from the top. Now, well, you may question it. All soldiers, I guess all soldiers question it, don't they? But they don't disobey it, man. They go for it. Well, the first century believers were facing very difficult times, even in a sense warfare in a way. And in the midst of those difficult times, the Spirit of God said, here are your marching orders. And 2,000 years later, for believers in the midst of our challenges, and we have fresh challenges today, God's marching orders are still in effect. God is saying, regardless of what you see around you, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the darkness that you see, I want you to connect with me, to trust me, to serve me. In fact, one of my favorite summaries of God's marching orders found in 1 Corinthians 16, look what it says. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know, guys, I love this little summary because it almost almost summarizes exactly what the Bible says all the way through. Clearly, God's marching order boiled down to do what's necessary to keep your lives spiritually strong, and then use that strength to make a difference in love in your world. That's really the marching orders contained in that passage, but really all the way through the Scriptures. Regardless of the mess, man, get moving and do as I ask you to do. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know what these guys were saying? They were saying, here's spiritual direction for believers that transcends current events. Do current events affect our lives? Of course. But the marching orders transcend those current events. So over the next 4 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some key ways of doing just that. Each of these messages that I'm going to offer over the next 4 weeks either talk about how to stay spiritually strong or how to use that strength to impact our world in love. So, as you know, a relatively few activities in our lives can make a big difference, right? If we get some very important things going on in our lives, it makes a huge difference. So I can't talk about everything that we might do or could do, but I want to talk about a relatively few things that I think will make a huge difference. And the first of those, and the most important, is simply connecting with our God. This is at the center of the Christian life, of course. So I want to talk this morning, first of all, about the nature of the relationship that all believers have with God. Now, by the way, I am speaking to believers over these 4 weeks. If you're exploring Christianity, you're a seeker, man, this isn't specifically for you, but what you will be able to do is say, oh, that's what Christians are thinking about. Oh, that's what I could think about as I explore this. So connecting with God, obeying Him, loving Him, serving Him, that makes more difference in your life than anything else you do. Man, it affects everything. It impacts it's a comprehensive impact on everything, your attitudes, your relationships, your psychological health, your joy, your spiritual growth, your ability to make a difference in the world, even your reaction to difficulties. And I could go on and on and on and on. This makes a comprehensive difference. And by the way, conversely, this connection with God, if it is neglected, has a comprehensive negative impact in our life. Now, the Apostle Paul prayed for believers to know God more and more, better and better. Look what he said in Ephesians 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So he's saying, I want you to be wise. I want you to be intentional. I want you to hear from the Spirit of God about how to come closer and closer and closer to Jesus. He's talking to believers. And what he's saying is keep growing in your relationship to God. In fact, God says something, talks about this priority in the Old Testament. Look what it says in Jeremiah 9:24. If anyone wants to boast, he should boast that he knows and understands me. Clearly, God's first priority for our lives, man, is to know him and to connect with him. Now, but what does knowing God look like? What's the nature of the relationship? I'm not talking about how do you first come to faith in Christ. Yes, all of us need to do that. What I'm talking about is once you come to know Christ, what does that look like? How do you pursue that? Now, there are a lot of different misconceptions about this. So I want to talk about three aspects of our relationship with God that is so important. First of all, guys, what is so key about our relationship with God is that it is a love relationship. This is so important. Now, some of you are going, well, Art, you can skip this one. I already knew that. But guys, sometimes I don't think we really do know it. We've got to talk about this because some listening to my voice think that a relationship with God boils down to reading a Bible a few minutes a day, you know, trying to do a few of the things it says when you feel like it, and then maybe showing up at church once a week. Think about it. What if you told your wife, wife, come down, sit down. I want to tell you how much I love you, and here's what I'm going to be doing over this next quarter to show you that I love you. First of all, I'm going to read your honey-do list a little bit every day. Now, I'm going to think about it, and on occasion, if it's okay, if it fits in with my schedule, I'm going to actually work on a few of those honey-do list things. And then here's the thing that's really going to make you, this is going to be so great. Every Friday night, honey, I'm going to show up for supper. Okay? Now, if you told your wife that, how would she feel? Not too good. And by the way, if she said, oh, great, honey, then you're in trouble. Okay? You need to know that. So I think sometimes some Christians want to boil down the relationship, this great connection we have, to a few things that I do for God, and then bam, maybe I'll show up once in a while. Guys, that's a distortion of what this great relationship is about. In fact, Jesus told us this in Mark 12, look at how he describes this relationship. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Look at how all-encompassing that is. It's pretty clear that this love relationship with God not only has to be number one, but man, it works itself out in every facet of our lives. And now, many of you have heard that before, but you haven't really known what it meant. What does this love relationship look like? Well, I want to get at this by talking a little bit about what Sky Jathani, how he describes relationship with God. Now, I'm not going to read from it, but this is his book entitled With. And that title comes from the fact that he wants to talk a lot in this book about what life with God really is about. And to talk about what life with God is about, he talks about other ways of looking at a relationship with God. He talks about, for example, life not with God, but life from God. And life from God is just seeing this relationship as this. Okay, yeah, I know God, and he's the basic good thing about that is he supplies all my needs, all my material desires. Now, of course, guys, that's good. God is our source. He is the one we turn to. Even our next breath comes from God. But when this is the main connection that I have with God, man, we become kind of just spiritual consumers, And so it's all about us. It's all about what God's going to do for us next. Our prayer life basically is just saying, okay, God, here's the next list that I have for you. And we become spiritual consumers, and we never think then about what God has for us, what he wants to do in our lives. We never change because we're really thinking mostly about ourselves. And so God becomes a great big vending machine in the sky. And okay, God, here's the quarter for today. Now spit something out. But that's only one way of distorting this relationship we have. Jethani also talks about life for God. And life for God actually sounds a little more spiritual, because life for God is about emphasizing the mission and the purpose God gives us in our life. And if we are living for God, then wow, if we feel like we're working for God, we're doing what he needs, what the task that he tells us to do, then we feel guilt-free. We think, okay, well, this is what I should be doing. And if not, we feel pretty bad. Well, guys, it's true that the mission of God is important. I mean, that's one expression even of love for God, is to serve him. But we make a mistake if we think that a mission is the center of the Christian life. I certainly want to be more effective in my ministry. I want to be more effective in what I do for God. But guys, even the Apostle Paul, who arguably was one of the most productive Christians who had ever lived, what did he emphasize in his life? He said the primary goal was to was God himself. Look what it says in Philippians 3. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What is he valuing? Jesus. He's valuing God himself. For this sake, his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. So a good thing, service for God, must not become the ultimate thing. No. It's knowing God. It's valuing him. That's the most important. The other thing, another distortion of this relationship, is to see life as life under God. And when I say life under God, I mean, listen, God, I'm going to secure your blessings through my obedience. That is, God, you are absolutely bound to bless me if I obey you. And it's a not so subtle way, really, of controlling God. We think of God as kind of a rich uncle, that if I visit him every week, surely he'll keep me in the will. Okay, that's it. Well, you know, you have that posture with God when something bad happens and you start blaming God and you start pulling away from him. You know that was the stance, that was your relationship with him. Hey, I've been serving you, you let me down. This bad thing happened and you didn't keep your part of the bargain, God. So the problem is that when difficulties do happen, people think, wow, you know, God has let me down. Now, by the way, if you're a young person, a young adult, or even a teen, this is particularly hard for you because you have less life experience. You can grow up as a Christian in a Christian family, and by the time you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and in those times, you just think, oh, yeah, here it is. I obey God. He always blesses me. Nothing bad ever happens. Guys, you need to know something, that suffering is a universal human experience. As long as we're on the planet, there can be something bad happen to us. And when that thing does happen, it's imperative that you not think, oh, God has let me down. No, guys, you are not the sovereign of the world. God is. And sometimes, because he is the sovereign, he allows pain to touch our lives. But that doesn't negate his love. That doesn't mean he's going back on his promises. It just means he has a different priority than you do, right? For you, your comfort is your number one priority, right? For all of us. But for God, our comfort is not his priority. He has a whole set of other priorities, like your connection with him, your love for him, your relationship with him, and your growth. And finally, there's one other distortion, and that's life over God, where God is just sort of this distant God. He's left us some principles to live by, but you really don't relate to that God. And guys, that's a form of deism, isn't it? Deism says basically that God exists, but that he's not involved. It's like a clockmaker who made a clock, and then he just walks away, and the clock's working on its own. Well, that's what deists would say, that there is a God, but he's distant. It's absolutely, totally the opposite of how God reveals himself as a personal God. But what they would say is, you can live this way. You can say, well, I'm getting God's principles. I'm learning to live by those principles. But, you know, I don't really relate to God that much. I mean, I don't need much contact because, after all, he's given us his principles. So you could live almost as if God doesn't exist by just looking at the scriptures and trying to figure out what he wants you to do. Now, guys, here's what you need to know. You see this word here? This is God's revelation about himself. It's meant in every page to point to him. And so if we're reducing faith to sort of some principles and we leave God out of the picture, man, that's not love for God, and it's just respect for his principles. Now, why have I taken time to outline these kind of different various distortions of a relationship? Because, listen, all of them either replace or distort a love relationship with God. And remember, what is the goal of a love relationship with God? The goal is God himself. A life lived with God, a vital, ongoing love relationship with God. In other words, the bottom line is that we treasure him above all else. Wow, that simplifies it. In fact, you remember Paul's word in Philippians 3. He says, he uses this phrase, the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Does that sound like treasuring him above all else? I think it does. And when you treasure him, we want to know him. We want to experience life with him. It's not spiritual consumerism in which we say, okay, God, here's what I need now. Or it's not spiritual manipulation in which we say, okay, God, I served you. Now you better bless me. It's none of that. But when you treasure God, man, that love relationship is central. He's in your thoughts all day. He's the one you want to please. And he's the one who you turn to for strength during a day. Now, we're talking about this connection with God, and we're saying, man, here's the nature of that relationship. The first thing we got to remember, it's a love relationship. It is a relationship in which we treasure this God that we love so much who has saved us. But that's not all. Not only is a relationship with God a love relationship, it's also a transformational relationship. And what I mean by that, you know, I'm just saying that loving God changes me. That's the bottom line. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians 3. I want to know Christ. Okay, that's a good start. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him. So Paul wants to know Christ so fully that he's willing to experience what Christ experienced. He wants to understand him. He wants to experience him. And that's certainly what happens in this love relationship, because when we do that, we become like him. You see, a relationship with God is transformational. Transformation is talked about a number of times in the Scripture. Romans 12:2 is just one of them. Look what it says. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see that phrase, let God transform you? I've observed many times that word transform comes from a Greek word that we get our English word from, metamorphosis. Metamorphosis being the biological changes that happen in lower animals, that where you take a larva, basically a blob, and it turns into a caterpillar, something beautiful. Well, God wants to take us, you know, I hate to call you a blob, but that's kind of what we are before, as we come to know Christ. We're a blob. We don't know Jesus. And then he takes us and he turns us into something beautiful. That is, he makes us more and more like Christ as we work in that direction. So, guys, here's what I want to say. If you're the same old crotchety person you were 10 years ago, something is wrong. If you're the same, if you're the person that if you don't know how to love any better than you did 10 years ago, something is wrong. But let's talk about this then. What makes the love relationship with God so transformational? Well, first of all, let's admit that this relationship that we have doesn't have to be transformational. In a relationship with God, you can either be God-centered or you can be self-centered. And if you're God-centered, it's all about loving your Father and pleasing Him. Man, if something in your life is grieving God and you know, oh man, you want to change it. If your way of thinking is not in line with God's Word, you want to change your thinking to conform to that. Not because of some legalistic rule, but because, oh no, I love God. You see, that love takes you somewhere. And if you're God-centered, man, you'll begin to change. It's really what happens is you begin to respond to God's Spirit inside you, and you move in a certain direction. However, it's possible to be a Christian and to be totally self-centered. That is, it's all about you. You don't submit to your heart to God. You don't submit your attitudes to God. You're not interested in conforming your mind to His Word. And you're only interested in having God take care of you and kind of trailing around after you, picking up your mess. Okay? So clearly, you and I have a choice. A relationship with God is meant to be transformational, man. But we don't have to make it transformational. We can be a 45-year-old spiritual baby. And pretty much all we say to God is, wah, wah, wah. Okay? There it is. And what happens then? We stay self-centered in our approach. But if you live a God-centered life, wow. If that connection for you is most important, if He's your treasure, two things happen. One, your greatest desire is to please Him. Think about it. Here's Paul's example of 2 Corinthians 5. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. He's saying whether we're alive or dead, you know, whether we're alive or we're in heaven, we're going to please God. He also told believers to do the same thing in Ephesians 5. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. So guys, this desire to please isn't about a legalistic, oh, this is what Christians are supposed to do. It's more like, no, I love Jesus and I treasure Him and I want to do what will please Him. It's similar to what happens when you love your spouse or you love a good friend. I mean, you value that person so much, you want to see him smile, okay? I want you to know that my wife, Naomi, I want to see her smile. I want to please her and see her smile. And guess what? When you love God, your desire is to please Him and make Him smile too. You want somehow to say, God, I love you so much, and here is my offering to you, my life. Now, so I told you two things happen. Number one is you learn to please God. You want to please God. But number two, man, that desire to please Him changes you. Guys, if this love relationship is transformational, because if I truly treasure Him, that takes me somewhere. It changes my behavior, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. More and more, you conform your inner life. So it's easier to conform the outer life to God, but more and more, you conform the inner life to God. What you think, what you value, all those things. And then that, in a greater and greater way, changes what you do on the outside. It's a beautiful thing when believers treasure God and want to please Him. And because of that, man thinks they begin to change. So, but when things in your life even don't measure up, man, you're bringing your whatever you have to God. So, your biggest desire is to please Him. You want to please Him. Now, here, let me just say this. Every believer who wants to please God, there is still this knowing-doing gap. You know what I'm talking about? This gap between what you know to do and what you do. Anybody ever had a knowing-doing gap? All of us have. Okay? But I'll tell you what's different. You're still being transformed because that gap, that when you don't measure up to God's standard and pleasing Him, you are grieved by that. You go to God often and you find new strength for change in the long run. You see, even that knowing-doing gap doesn't keep you from being transformed. But it's just that the trend line in Christianity doesn't go like this. It goes like this. That's the trend line. And that reflects a knowing-doing gap, doesn't it? where we have some time where we're developing as believers. So guys, you and I know that transformation is essential, but it can only happen as we're God-centered. We turn to the Spirit often, we find the strength we need, and we move in a new direction. Now, what are we talking about? The nature of this relationship, this connection we have with God. First, it's a love relationship. Secondly, it's transformational relationship. And thirdly, it's an experiential relationship. This is important, this one. All of them are important, but what I mean by experiential is this. I am invited to experience God every day of my life, every moment of my life. No, we're not, as the deists say, he isn't a distant God. He's a God who is inside you. And so we can experience him every day. I like to say it this way. I want to do life with God. I want to invite him into every moment. I mean, I want to wake up in the morning. First thing I'm doing is say, okay, God, good morning. And then talk to him. And I want to talk to him all day. And the last thing I want to do at night is say, okay, God, thank you for all that you did this day. So what happens? We bring our joys. We bring our problems. We bring our crisis. We bring our challenges to God. And we do life with God. Now, we don't just place our faith in Jesus and then go to heaven one day, man. The relationship with God is an experiential relationship. You know, Brother Lawrence was a humble cook in the French monastery in the 17th century. And Brother Lawrence wrote a book that many of you are familiar with called Practicing the Presence of God. It's a classic on doing life with God. Because he would talk about how he would making a meal or even washing dishes as an opportunity to invite God into that moment. And so he would do life with God. He would take every task and, man, he would go with it. Now, this relation with God then is experiential, where we just walk with God in the light of his presence. Think about how that impacts our life. Man, all through the New Testament, we're told to bring our lives to God. And I'm talking about I bring decisions, I bring joys, I bring crises. I'll tell you one thing that in my own life has made a huge difference in growing as a believer. I have learned over years to bring my failures to God as quickly as possible. You see, even our failures we bring to God. We experience life with him. And so, Lord, you saw what I just thought or what I just did. Lord, forgive me for that. Would you strengthen me in this moment? I brought my failure to God even. I've experienced life with God. So that's what a relationship is all about. And, think about it this way, guys. Have you ever had a relative that you loved, you think you loved them, you loved them, but you didn't really want to be around that relative? You ever had a relative like that? A few of you have, okay. So sometimes Christians are like that. I mean, well, Jesus is my Savior, yeah, but do I really want him hanging around with me and affecting what I'm doing? I don't think so. You see, guys, that's not a relationship. A relationship with God is experiential. You do life with God. Now, John Piper is a pastor and a writer. He's a radical dude. John Piper. You ever read his books, you want to go, you come out kind of going like this, because he tells it like it is, you know. Here's one thing that John Piper wrote. Listen to this. People who would be happy in heaven if Christ were not there will not be there, okay? Okay. And, you know, he's a pretty black and white guy, but he does make a good point. If you essentially, you want to know that God is taking care of you, but you don't really want him around every moment of the day, you know? You don't really want to walk with him. Man, something's wrong. Now, remember, at the end of the book of Revelation, one of my favorite passages says something pretty radical about God. Look what it says in Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. The God himself will be with them as their God. I love, look how many times he says with there. The ultimate dwelling place of God is with man. And we have the privilege. That doesn't start at the second coming. It starts at our salvation. That God lives with us, meaning our lives with him is experiential. We experience him every moment of our life. And by the way, we've been reading the Gospel of John. Isn't Jesus a great example of experiencing God the Father every moment? Look how he experiences daily, moment by moment, this connection with God and this desire to be with him, this desire to have even solitude to be alone with God. Friends, that's the nature of the connection that we have. It's a pretty cool connection. It's a love relationship. It's a transformational relationship, and it's experiential. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, here's the deal. How do we nurture that relationship? You see, you said, okay, we've said what the relationship is about, but then how do we nurture that beautiful thing that God has for us? On one level, it's not all that complicated, is it? I mean, really? Think about it. I mean, what does it take to nurture a love relationship? Time and attention, right? That's about it. Time and attention. You are intentional about what you do. So sometimes we want to just say about our relationship with God, well, you know what? It'll all work itself out. I like to be free and easy and just kind of go with the flow, and it'll all work out, this relationship with God. Well, guys, think about your other major relationships. Is that what you say about them? Well, you know, this relationship with my wife, I'm just going to be free and easy. It'll just kind of work itself out. I don't have to really think about it. That'll just steal the joy, right? No. You do think about it. You think, oh, man, I think we should have a date because that'll enhance our time together. Oh, we got to have a cup of coffee on Saturday morning so we can sit down and talk and share what's been going on with our lives. Oh, I think we better, you know, it goes on and on and on in relationships. You are intentional. So I want to talk about how to nurture your relationship with God just for a moment, but I don't want to talk about it like a pastor normally might do that. And pastors don't intend to do this, but they talk about this. They say, you should do this to be close to God. You should read your Bible. You should pray. You should fast, by the way. You should do this, or you should do that. And so it all comes under the category. Lyle's looking around going, was that me? No, I was just in my feet in that direction. It all comes under the category of should. And does should develop a relationship with God very well? Not really very well. But think about what we're talking about. We're talking about this great relationship. And so when we talk about the things that we do as believers, let's think of them as actions that will further our love relationship with God. Would you think that way with me today? Not, oh, here's what Art says are the shoulds. But no, think with me. Here's what the scriptures would say. Here's how I can develop this love relationship. And guys, we can always do things differently. Think about one spiritual discipline, reading your Bible. Why would you want to read the Bible? Some people are reading the Bible because, well, they told me if I read my Bible, I'd be spiritual. They told me I should read my Bible. That's what Christians do. What if you would read your Bible for a different reason, to come close to God and develop a love relationship? Remember, this is God's self-revelation to you. You know, if you would go to a counselor and you would ask him, how do I get closer to my wife? You know what one of the counselors would tell you? Well, you've got to do some self-disclosure, and she's got to do some self-disclosure so that you know each other better. Guys, think about it. This is God's self-disclosure to you and to me. And so when I begin to read the scriptures, his thoughts, his statements, his commands, I'm going, wow, I'm doing that to come close to the one that I love. Because you can't have a friendship without self-disclosure. So here's the one thing I want to say. In this coming year, well, let's narrow it down to this coming quarter. Don't think about what you should do. Okay? Don't. Instead, think, how do I further my love relationship with God? Think about, how can I, you know, what is the time and attention that is needed for me to do that? Now, really, the whole Bible tells you that. In fact, James 4 is just one little brief statement, draw near to God. But Colossians says it differently. It says, continue to walk or to continue to live in Him. Same thing. Draw near. Do life with God. Same thing. But in all the ways, it says, nurture your relationship with God. So let me give you one practical tool. That's all we have time for in the next 7 or 8 minutes. One practical tool that may help you, and it's called a rule of life. I first read about this in Ruth Haley Barton's book called Sacred Rhythms. And a rule of life is just a regular pattern of attitudes, behaviors, and practices that if I'll just submit to those things over time, it'll foster relationship with God. It'll create space for God. That's the way I like to think of it. What are the things that I do that create space for God in my life? And many times, guys, isn't it true, believers, we have a hard time creating space for God, don't we, sometimes? And so if I have a rule of life, it will create space. Another way of saying it is a rule of life outlines your spiritual rhythms. Now, by the way, I like the word rhythms better than disciplines. Why? Because discipline sounds like, here's what you should do. You should pray, and you should read your Bible, and you should get along with God. You know, it's like shoulds. And it's like you come, oh, really, okay, I guess I should do that. And then we try to do it. I like the word rhythms better because rhythm has this idea of ebb and flow. It has the idea of seasons. It has the idea of creativity. And so the spiritual rhythms we're going to talk about, they might change according to what time of life you're in. They might change according to what time you had. For example, a mother with 4 preschoolers is going to have a different rule of life than a retired grandfather will, because her life is different and because what she might need would be different. So I say all that to say a rule of life is very personal. It's kind of where you're at now. But here's what I'd like you to do. All right? Here's it. Here's the application. Over the next couple of weeks, I would like you to start thinking about how to rearrange your life so that you can nurture your relationship with God. All right? Just that simple. So yes, you would begin to ask yourself some questions. Well, you know, what are the minimum things that I need to really stay close to God? What are the practices, the spiritual practices that really, that I most relate to, that really, really I get a lot of bang for the buck out of? Or what are the rhythms that I should feel that God leading me to connect with Him over these next 3 months. And after you've thought about it for a while, here's what I'd like you to do. This is radical. Think about it a couple weeks, then actually develop a plan and write down your thoughts. That's just that simple. So you write out a rule of life for the next quarter. Now, you're saying not for the year? No, because I found that life, amen, rhythms, ebb and flow, I found over my own life, I go away for some time with God every quarter, and I try to look at my rule of life every quarter. What do I need this quarter? Okay? So, I want to say this. As you write down this plan, make it realistic. Don't write down these lofty things you think you should do. Instead, write down the rhythms, the spiritual rhythms that will help you develop a love relationship and something that you can actually do, okay? Now remember, a rule of life is personal. It's not going to be like somebody else's, but it is a regular pattern that you're going to be writing down. And it will include things like spiritual disciplines or attitudes you want to foster, anything like that. Now, it's got to be personal, but I decided that an example would be helpful for you. And so I brought my current rule of life, and I've put it as an insert in your bulletin. You can get it out right now. Now, I really debated before I did this today because I see there's 2 dangers in bringing my current rule of life to you. One, some of you will be overwhelmed by it. You go, oh, I can't do that. Others of you will be underwhelmed. You'll say, aren't pastors getting up at 3 a.m. and praying from 4 to 7 a.m.? And I don't see any of that in here. So, guys, you know, I have 2 dangers here, but I decided, no, you need some example. I'm not asking you to do this, because remember, this is personal. It's your rule of life. But let me just share with you. Let's read it here. We'll kind of look at it. First of all, after defining rule of life, here are my daily rhythms. No technology before work. I've lost some of you right there. But remember, this is not about what you're going to do. That may not be important for you, but for me it is. Monday through Friday, Bible reading and prayer. So Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, I have longer readings in which I write out journal with. And then on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I meditate on shorter portions and journal with that. Daily review at the end of the day to recognize the presence of God. Take a few minutes, invite God to show me where He's been present with me and how I responded to His presence over the last 24 hours. Do it after work if possible and connect with a friend to talk about it. So I connect with a friend several times a week at the end of my workday. Just say, okay, where was God working in your life today over the last 24 hours? Internal disciplines of the heart. Have a quiet heart that is at rest when external circumstances are difficult. Have a free heart that's not controlled by attachments to entertainment or food or recognition. Have a loving heart that's focused on treasuring God and pleasing Him. Have a truthful heart that refuses to lie about who I am or what I have done. And then often I would connect with God around the day around those attitudes. Now, weekly rhythms, this is the other side. Exercise 3 days a week unless you feel prompted and have more time. On Saturdays, have an extended prayer time with Naomi. Meet friends on Wednesday every morning for Wednesday mornings for self-examination, confession, and to urge one another on the race. Make Sunday afternoon and Monday a true day of rest. Do pleasurable, restful activities like watch the Seahawks on DVR. Make sure that God is invited into those activities and connect with Naomi, family, and friends. Now, monthly routines. Connect with D&J once a month on Mondays for conversation and fellowship. Connect with home group. Be consistent in rhythm of tithing, which is so important in keeping my heart dependent on God. Be generous with offerings, again, to help me to be dependent on God. For spiritual intellectual growth, read at least one ministry applicable biblically based book each month. And just create a list and just go through those. Quarterly rhythms, do a day with God, away with God, once a quarter to practice solitude and listening. And yearly, do 2 or 3 day retreat a year to reorient my heart. Now guys, why do I tell you that? Not so you can do that, just so you know, man, that's doable for me. I wrote it. It's what connects me to God. And it's what nurtures this beautiful relationship with God. Friends, think about it in this coming year. In this coming year and in the years to come, you've got to understand, man, physical safety isn't guaranteed. Financial success, that's not guaranteed. Our government solving the huge problems that we have as a nation, that's not guaranteed. What is guaranteed? One thing, God. One thing, relationship with Him. Just like first century believers could develop and pursue that relationship with God in the midst of darkness, you and I, the marching orders are clear for us too. We can pursue that connection with God, which is so transformational, that love relationship that is experiential in every type of life. Man, we can pursue it in the midst of whatever's happening. Now, I want you to know something. That's the God that we serve. He's got His arms around us. We want to stay close to Him in the midst of good times. We certainly want to stay close to Him in the midst of difficult times as well. Whatever's happening, man, number one, marching orders, here it is. Connect with your God. I know if you do, this year ahead is going to be a lot better.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.